back. Another SEC preview as we're winding all these down. I'm joined by Mr. Joe Pym. Good to see you again, Joe.
Yes, sir. Great to be here.
As always, I'm your host, Jeremy York. Thanks to Impact Media and Mellow Mushroom for allowing us to do this here today. Today, we're going to have either your favorite topic or your least favorite topic if you're in the SEC. We're going to talk about Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Roll damn Tide.
Exactly, because elephants are the way to go.
They're indigenous. We all know they're rampant. They used to run rampant over the state of Alabama.
Must be in the cities I haven't been in. But
right.
That being said, as we get into Sabanology and the Sabanites, I guess we'll coin some new terms.
11-2 last year.
11-2.
Overall.
I believe, you know, as we just spoke about South Carolina, that's right up their alley as well.
7-1 in the conference.
Which is a big difference.
Yeah, their second loss was in the bowl game. They really weren't. It was to Oklahoma. They weren't really that interested.
No.
And it's kind of the way things ended up a couple years ago when they lost to Utah. Utah was not the better team.
No. Now, was that, who's the coach at Utah now? I forgot. At one point, they had a big coach, didn't they?
It wasn't Swervin Urban back then. It was another guy.
Yeah, different guy. But regardless, I mean, Alabama is what we all think they are as far as they're successful. Saban's building a ridiculously good program. To me, he's going to stay here until he's tired of coaching. He's going to leave, but I don't think he's done. I think he's wanting to add a few more pieces of hardware. And overall, even though he's reloading every year, I don't know that they've looked any stronger than they do right now.
Right, and I have to agree with you there. But
I will disagree as far as the hardware is concerned, because hearing Mr. Saban talk himself, he says that the wins really don't matter much to him. The losses hurt him more than the wins feel good. That might be, sound like Yoda just said that. You know, it might be kind of backwards thinking.
Yeah.
But he says the hangover from the losses is way worse than the sweet victory of the wins. And maybe that's just his mentality. Maybe he needs to take his Xanax or two and relax, you know, cool it.
I don't know, every time I've ever seen him, he seems pretty relaxed.
Yeah, but he's really wanting to really stab somebody.
Could be.
You can kind of tell. He's a long way from Michigan State. He's a long way from Cleveland. He really needs to just soak it in. He's already top five all time college football coach, and I won't get into that lineup that I think it is, but
right.
He's top five no matter who you talk to.
Right. Well, because of the things he's done. I mean, he's
right. It's not based off of smoke and mirrors.
No.
It's actual results.
Right. It's hard to argue with his success.
Right.
And let's see. I know they have a new OC, which we'll get into here in a minute, but they still got the same defensive coordinator, correct?
Yeah. Being he's the defensive coordinator.
Yeah,
Kirby Smart is still the defensive
one of the longer tenured SEC guys.
Yeah.
I think he's been in the SEC for about 15 or 20 years.
I mean, oddly enough, I don't know if there's some kind of gambling debt or you know, something that's keeping it there. I'm not really sure. So, since we're on defense right now,
yes.
Last year, scoring wise, fourth in the country defensively.
Okay.
Rushing, seventh in the country.
Okay.
Passing, 11th in the country. Total, fifth. Sounds like Alabama.
Yeah, that sounds like Alabama.
Sounds like Alabama.
Yeah.
So we'll move to offense, because that's probably their biggest question.
Right.
Because defense, they just rolled over. It's scheme, athletics, big, fast, and whatnot. Put your hands in the air. Offensively, 17th in scoring. Not bad.
Given the style offense, the run-first mentality, that you don't need a superstar quarterback, you just a game manager. Okay, run-first, I can see that.
Rushing, 25th.
I would actually say that's a little low for them, but at the same time, that's still a good number.
Passing, 49.
To me, that's actually a compliment.
That's right in the top third.
That's a compliment to me, and that's no knock at any quarterback they have, as McCarron was pretty good. He has a good arm and everything, but with the run-first mentality, yeah.
total, they were 33rd.
That's not bad. Saban would like it higher, but it probably will be this year.
I'll tell you what he would like higher.
Turnovers per game. 0.2 on the plus side per game last year.
And while that's miles ahead of the other ones we mentioned with the minus fives and the ones and stuff, you know, but
0.2 per game.
So yeah.
That's five games before they get plus one.
Yeah.
And they were still 11-2.
Well, maybe because there's not many turnovers in their game.
I'll tell you why. One of the big things is Yeldon. He's kind of screwy, loosey, loosey, goosey with the ball.
Yeah.
Maybe it's coaching. Maybe it's habit. Who cares? He's still putting the ball on the ground. And so, you know, we started on defense. We know defense, and that's going to be the key. It really just rolls over.
Right.
Defense, defense, defense. So I'm going to come up with another three words that's really going to make all the differences here. That's Amari, Amari, Amari. He's going to stretch the field. He's going to let TJ. He's going to let Henry. He's going to let whatever studs they have in that stable of running backs. They're going to get those draws. They're going to get those counters. They're going to get those dives because they're going to be rolling that safety over the top to try to cover up Amari.
Yep.
And that's going to really open it up. I mean, no matter how Coker performs, and you know what I've heard, Coker's got the pedigree. He's got the talent. I mean,
he's the transfer, right?
Yes, from Florida State.
Yep.
And he's really, you know, poised to do it. And whether or not he does it or not, you know, Blake Sims is going to come in there. I mean, that guy's a senior. Maybe he can do it, but I don't think that this is a quarterback-based team.
No, and I'm not saying it doesn't matter, like anybody could do it, but you don't need, like I said, you don't need
to win the game.
The star quarterback. You don't need a Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
You need an Alex Smith. You need a game manager.
Yes.
Somebody who will make smart decisions, not turn the ball over, and get the ball ready to go.
Right. You don't need him to come in to win the game. He just doesn't need to lose.
He's in control of it.
Right. And like I said, I mean, they had key losses last year. You got, you know, AJ McCarron. We all know about that guy and what he's done and his girlfriend. And, you know, him and Musburger are working out some kind of barter deal for that.
Right.
And you got a wide receiver, Norwood, they lost.
Right.
I mean, he was good. Maybe not great, but he was definitely good. Left tackle, Cyrus Quanjo, All-American. You know, really right up there. Got the genetics.
Right.
Just a big movement. Linebacker, Butkus Award winner, C.J. Mosley. At the next level. He's gone.
Yes.
I mean, you're not going to get a Butkus Award winner every year. I don't care how good you recruit.
Right.
I mean, that just doesn't happen. One of my favorite names ever, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. He's gone.
Green Bay Packer.
One of my favorite positions, safety.
You know, I actually, you know, a small little trivia tidbit. I happen to be attending a draft party with draft event with a scout and consultant for the Green Bay Packers. They were looking at two people on their list. Ha-Ha was number two on their list. Number one was C.J. Mosley. And when Mosley went off the board to Pittsburgh or Baltimore, yeah, right before that, they immediately went to Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. But they were looking at both those Alabama products.
Oh, yes. Why not?
Yeah.
When they just picked up Lacey, I think they got a DL 2 years ago. And then I can't say for sure. But I do know that, you know, Green Bay, you know, Mike McCarthy, he's all over it.
Yeah.
I mean, he pays attention to it all. So, and then we're going to go, yeah, another loss they have, Vinny Sunseri.
Yes.
Now, Sal's boy may not have been the most athletic fella. Maybe you can call him the Jeff Hornacek of the defense.
There's a throwback.
But Hornacek made his foul shots, and he hit his open threes. And that's the same way Sunseri was. He was not going to wow anybody at the combine, but he was going to contribute, and he was going to be in the spot he was supposed to be in every time. And, you know, it's kind of a moot point to speak of the defense because Alabama rolled it through. It's just, for lack of a better term, they're going to roll tide. I mean, they're going to roll them right in. and they're not even going to stop. They're not going to think twice. They're going to change schemes. They're going to have the same plays, the same position. They're going to play man-to-man, and they're going to tackle, and they're going to try to create turnovers, and they're going to be right there on it.
Yeah.
Every time. So defense is really a moot point with them. I hate to really blow it off because I'm a defensive guy. But Coker is going to be the key.
Yeah, I think he is.
And we just said a second ago, he doesn't have to win the games, but he can't lose them.
Right.
And there's a reason why he left Florida State. Now, maybe because famous Jameis.
I was about to say, he wasn't going to get to play.
Right, maybe.
I mean, to be fair, Cam Newton left Florida because he wasn't going to play in front of Tebow, went to Auburn and won a championship. So we could be seeing the same story here.
Yeah, but he also got caught stealing stuff.
What, Jameis or Cam?
Cam.
Either way.
Jameis is still at the school he stole. He played at what he stole.
We won't even get into the Ask Jameis stuff.
Yeah, hashtag Ask Jameis. But yeah, I mean, Coker, he's just got to do what he's supposed to do. I mean, we've got O.J. Howard, and I hear him compared to Ozzie Newsome, which is, that's a Hall of Fame tight end.
Wow.
This dude is, 19 years old?
Yeah.
And they're saying that about him? So he must really be bringing it on a regular basis. I mean, to even mention Ozzie Newsome.
Yeah.
I remember that dude when he was with the Browns, and he was one of my favorite players.
He was really kind of groundbreaking in the position.
Yes. He's big. I mean, and hell, if you look at him with the Baltimore Ravens as an executive,
yeah,
he's making it happen. He's got two rings.
Hey, I think he's got two.
He does have two.
I think
rings.
He was around for the other one.
Yes, he was. So, I mean,
great football mind.
Yes.
Wow.
So we're gonna build on the offense. TJ Yeldon, most yards ever. Construct the sentence properly. In his first 2 years as a running back at Alabama, most yards ever by a running back.
I mean, and that includes some other big names.
Bobby Humphrey.
Yeah.
You got another one?
Oh, it's my turn to come up.
Mark Ingram.
Yeah, I'm about to say Ingram with the Saints.
Got another one? Sean Alexander.
Wow, was he in Alabama?
Yeah.
Man. Remember that guy running in Seattle? That guy was awesome.
Remember when he had 4 touchdowns against Florida?
That was him, wasn't it? That has slipped my mind. I forgot that one. But, yeah, I mean, they're...
And then you got Derrick Henry behind him, who's really... He'd probably start on any other team.
Right.
And I'm sure there's probably
Tim Penny.
Yeah, I was going to say there's probably 3 or 4 true freshmen I'm not aware of.
Scamborough.
30 carries.
Scamborough was actually the first freshman I got to on that entire list. But, you know, now, since we're on offense, let's get into, I'll mention that offensive coordinator, Lane Kiffin. And of all the things he done away from here, when he got here, he looked at the running back core they have, and he said to him, I'll probably get the quote wrong, but to the effect of, their top 3 running backs here, that running back core, are better than even any on the pro level, including, NCAA and NFL.
He did say that.
And in that respect, I kind of got to give a little bit of a half nod to him, because on most teams, you don't get up to 3 levels of A-plus talent.
Right.
Where in college, you can stockpile like this, and they're so deep at that position that, you know what, Lane, I'll give you the nod, the high five, the knuckle bump, whatever you want there, that I think you have a point.
This much of a point for everyone watching.
But it's still a point.
I don't think they're the best in the conference. We'll get to that.
No, he didn't say the best. He said the deepest in talent-wise.
I don't think they're the deepest talent-wise in the conference.
I think they're close, because I know who you're going to bring up, and I won't
bring them up now.
I don't know who their third string is. I don't know enough about
them.
Oh,
they have 2 third strings that will start anywhere else in the country, and they're true freshmen.
Could be good then, and we'll get to them in next week.
We will.
But as far as theirs goes, Quandro Will did have his brother leave, and they were anchoring down that left side.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see, because they have Cam Robinson starting over there at left tackle, a freshman, true freshman.
Well, so then you've got...
It will be very interesting to see how he plays without his brother beside him.
Right, and then you've got an experienced left tackle, and you've got Coker turning his back to that side.
Right.
With really limited experience personally.
Basically the blind side tackle.
Yeah, he has limited experience personally. So who knows if he's going to be able, if he's going to get happy feet about it.
It's very true. But when you look at them, I mean, they're deep all the way across the board.
Oh, of course.
Dang near anything. I mean,
there's one area, one of my favorite areas to bring up.
Okay.
The freshman punter. Oh, that comes in really.
That's a lot of pressure.
You know, it really doesn't really matter when you're playing Lafayette, all those teams. And he punts high, beautiful balls, but who knows? When you're at LSU.
Yeah. It's going to matter.
He might shank one with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And maybe he'll do it against Mississippi State.
Well, I mean, it's the you got to look at the place kicker as well with Adam Griffith.
Struggling in the spring.
I mean, who was – he's not the same one that kicked that kick last year.
He is not the same fella.
Which is good. But I think given if that situation ever arises again, no matter who it's against, I feel like Saban's going for it.
Well, maybe so, but if he doesn't go for it, that kicker's going to line up and say, I don't want to be the guy that does it again.
No.
So he's going to doubt the trueness of his kick. And so I've talked ad nauseum about that play with people. And
there was a lot of luck involved.
I think we just said Spurrier would have went for it. He would have kicked it.
Yeah, I think he'd have went for it.
He would have punted it, or he would have tried to convert the first down.
But that's the difference in coaching styles, and I applaud the effort of trying to make a play there because everybody else is playing for overtime. You're trying to play for
it. Well, I mean, if we can look at the rings, so I'm not going to doubt Saban. He's got three rings. Right. Spurrier has one.
Right.
And then it's ACC championship ring with Duke.
Counts, right?
Something.
Yeah. He got him the deal at South Carolina, so. But,
well,
you know.
He got him the deal with Florida first.
Well, either way.
Yeah. The Redskins got him the deal at South Carolina. Yeah. Don't forget his trip to Washington.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, their kicking game is still kind of a mystery to me. It may be a mystery to them at this point. Hopefully they can figure it out because that could be their ultimate downfall.
Oh, yeah, and you'll hear Saban, if he's interviewed about it, it's a process. It's a process. We're going through the process. This process takes us to practice tomorrow to practice the process.
Right.
And so he's, you know, he's a robot when it comes to talking to us. Well, I use us loosely as me being a media figure. But when he talks to people that write stuff down, no, but there's one thing that really no one can dispute. Number one recruiting class again.
Yeah, sure.
6 5-stars. Again. I didn't really look up to see how many of the past years since Saban's got there they've been number one. I bet it's more than one. I bet it's before this
probably,
year.
Probably, I would say, at least 2 or 3 or 5 probably.
Yes.
It helps when you win as much as you do because you can go, you want to win a championship? Come to Alabama.
Right. And it helps when you roll all these guys in the NFL. Now, no matter how good they perform once they get there without the deer antler spray, that's a whole different story.
Right.
But Saban can only open the door for them. He can't, you know, he can only show them the onions and the carrots. He can't show them how to make soup.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, as we transition to the defense, this is very much like the offense as far as depth. They utilize the star position as well.
Yes.
They use it more like Auburn does.
Yes.
Or I guess Auburn uses it more like they do, whichever.
No.
But they have extra defensive back out there who is Geno Smith, not the Jets guy, but. And he's kind of the quarterback of this defense, so to say. I don't know that he's necessarily the play caller, but a lot of things hinge around his play at the star position.
He's more of a run support guy. That's why, when you look at their numbers, you know, 7th against the rush. But he's not too much run support. They're still 11th against the pass.
Right.
I mean, I understand the run numbers are going to be skewed because they're Bama's playing from out front, so everyone's chasing to begin with.
Right.
But it's still the smother you mentality. It creates a immediacy of attention to try to get those extra yards. And we're not going to get those extra yards out of running the draw.
Right.
So let's try to run this screen. But then you got Geno right up front making the play, whether it's a sweep or a screen. And he's ready to drop back. You know, got Trey DePriest right under him making it happen. And that dude's going to do things this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be the C.J. Mosley of the defense.
He has to be.
I mean,
when you lose somebody like that, you got to replace him with somebody.
But yeah, I mean, it goes without saying. I mean, he is there. He's going to do it. Or he wouldn't be there.
Right.
I mean, Saban doesn't really mince words. He will gray shirt your ass in a second.
Yes.
You will get gray shirted, and you can sit and watch and go to class. And we'll wait till you get your stuff together.
Yep.
Or we'll just get rid of you.
Well, because, I mean, he has that kind of depth.
Yes.
Where a lot of people have to go, I understand you got popped for that or you're getting this, but we're still going to stick with you. It's because they don't have anything better a lot of times. And they still give you the best chance to win games.
He signs 105 every year, and he can only have 85 scholarships. He's got 20. He's got his own minor league system.
Yep.
Which, you know, the rules are rules. And if you work around them, that's the way it goes.
Right.
You know, the pass rush. Apparently, Bama fans felt it was weakest since Saban got there last year. They got two JUCO guys.
Yeah.
Jerron Reed, Jaron Reed, maybe it's Jerron. It's kind of hard.
Probably Jerron. Yeah. It would be my guess.
Yeah. Reed.
Yeah.
He's going to come in. He's going to really put you right off the bat. Then you got DJ Pettaway.
Yeah.
Those are two JUCO guys, which JUCO means you ain't freshman. You ain't sophomore. You're going to come in and contribute.
Yes.
You're a grown man. You could probably put away three stakes if you'd like. And you're going to come in and you're going to rush the pass.
Yeah.
He's going to make it happen. Then you got Denzel DePaul, who is a junior. So there's another area where there's not a lack of experience.
If I'm not mistaken, they're not starting a single freshman on the defensive side.
No, that's the way they do it.
It's all people with experience. I mean, very rarely do you see a true freshman start on the defensive side.
They keep rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. You got Xavier Dixon. He's a senior.
Yep.
Cornerback. I like senior cornerbacks. I like cornerbacks with experience. They're not going to bite on the pump and go.
Exactly.
They're going to support the run. So, I mean, it's hard to find a flaw with the team. The only flaw I really see are the two guys with their foot on the ball.
Yeah.
Freshman punter and an inexperienced kicker.
Which, I mean, could be a difference.
Oh, we saw what lost them the game in their one game in the regular season last year. Cost it all. But maybe that was a coaching decision and the ball shouldn't have been put in the air. Nonetheless.
Well, but 9 times out of 10, that doesn't happen. Well, 9 billion times out of 10.
Well, I know a couple years ago, Marshall Morgan, when he kicked that kick, it wouldn't even been in the TV screen.
Right.
It would have been in the stands.
Right.
No one was going to catch it.
No.
So if you're going to miss.
I would almost say Blair Walsh would have hit the third row of somewhere. But, you know, he was able to turn around for the pros. But yeah.
If you're going to miss. You know, and I realize that play is. I don't know, when did that start happening?
Not very long.
And I think when Devin Hester was with the Bears, might have been the first time I remember. Maybe Cromarty with the Jets, or it was the Chargers, sorry.
Yeah.
When he won 109 yards. So it's not really a.
No, it's not a prominent
thing.
It's
not something we grow up with.
No.
Now we will now.
Now, my strategy has always been something along the lines of that, but, you know, then again, I'm not a coach or a player at the moment, so. You know, I would always say if it's a long field goal, I'm putting somebody back just in case. But that's kind of an arena mentality.
Yeah, and you know, we spoke about that week one.
Right.
Where.
But as we did for South Carolina, kind of pick one guy on offense and one guy on defense that you're really tuning in for whatever reason.
I'm going to have to go with Amari Cooper. I've seen him make some fantastic plays. T.J. Yeldon, he's the easy choice. Because he's going to get more touches. But, I mean, Cooper, he might be a little bit smaller than Jules Jones, but he's right in that mold. And I know that Alabama may not be the stable for wide receivers. Now,
Julio went there.
That's what I mean, Jules Jones, but...
But then again, Calvin Johnson was a Yellow Jacket, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that was...
Talent will always overcome.
Yeah, and... if it wasn't for Mike Shula, we might be talking about Tyrone Prothrow in that same. But he decided to throw a bomb up 31-0 and get that man's career ended.
Yeah.
That's a horse of a different color. If any of y'all remember that play, I'm sorry for bringing it back up because that was totally gruesome.
Yeah,
but
really bad.
I'm trying to think of another big boy receiver they had.
I know they did. I can't think of them. Because they typically have a reputation that by the time they go to the pros, they're so dinged up and beat up that they stay injury prone.
Yeah.
Which is because Saban runs them as hard as he does. But he runs them this hard because that's how they get successful.
I'm really just trying to think about Alabama overall.
But, I mean,
who was that guy that killed Florida in the first championship game? Number 15. Killed him.
I can't think of it. But, so you like Cooper. I'm going to say the guy to watch is Cam Robinson because he's the most inexperienced on the offensive line. He's a freshman. He's taken over for Quanjo's brother, so we'll have to see that relationship. And if I'm anybody, and if I'm a pass rusher or an offensive line or an outside linebacker, any of those kind of things, and I'm running against Alabama, I'm coming at the freshman. I'm coming at the new guy, the guy who hasn't played with this group the way the rest of them have at least played a little bit with each other, whether they've started or not.
Right.
Nobody's seen Cam Robinson play on an actual field except for Alabama personnel.
Correct.
So anybody that's wanting to pass rush, I don't care what week you're in, I'm coming at the guy. So I want to, and it's not nothing personal to him. Maybe he's the best left tackle there ever was, but I'm going to watch a game to see people come at him and see what he can do.
Yeah, and, you know, it goes back to Kiffin. How is Kiffin going to work around that?
Exactly, because that's the, you know, it doesn't matter how good Coker is or Sims or me or you or Batman or Aquaman if they were the quarterback.
Right.
If you can't protect the blind side, you're not going to be in long enough for it to matter.
Right. You know,
but
Saban won't put up with that.
No.
You get him smacked one time, he's going to sit you down.
And we both agreed that these guys are going to be 11-1 this year.
Oh, we didn't get to the defensive guy.
Oh, defensive guy, sorry.
I'll let you start with that one.
I'll be honest, I think there's a lot of playmakers here, and I'm kind of becoming a fan of that new star or spur position. But I feel like it's going to fall on Trey DePriest to be the C.J. Mosley. And as big as Mosley was, we need to see Trey step up. Not that he hasn't stepped up before. I'm not saying he's bad or he needs to get better, but he needs to be that guy.
Right. But he just hasn't been that guy.
Right. But when you had Mosley on your team, you didn't have to be that guy.
Right. I'm going to go with the senior nose guard, Brandon Ivory.
Which was actually my second choice.
Well, in the 3-4 defense.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you guys have heard me talk before. Middle, if you control the middle of the field, you pretty much, you're cutting down a third of the field.
Right.
Because the other third is outside and outside. So if you got a 350-pound guy throwing people around, freeing up linebackers,
right,
then it's really going to open up blitz opportunities, zone blitz opportunities,
right,
soft coverage, tricky coverage, stunt opportunities, and 3-4, man, if you got a nose guard that's really just dominating, plus this guy's a senior, and they think he might could be a pass rusher, I really don't care if the guy can rush the passer.
Right.
I mean, remember Gilbert Brown. I know they didn't do much when they had him, but Gilbert Brown dominated.
Well, and think about it this way. A lot of teams are swapping to 3 up front in college.
Yeah.
Because look at the importance in the NFL. You look at somebody like a Vince Wilfork. If you take him out of the nose tackle position at the Patriots, they have a problem.
Yeah, the Patriots would have won the Super Bowl if he didn't get hurt.
Right.
They would have.
Yeah. And that's why they kept Ryan Mallett.
Yes.
But, you know, different day, different discussion.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'll transition into the schedule now just to hit it real quick. And we both got them at 11-1.
11-1 is not best case scenario.
No.
11-1 is what's going to happen.
They easily, not pretty easily, could go 12-0.
The worst case is 10-2, which is, I know a lot of teams that would be all over a little bit of 10-2.
Absolutely.
So, week one.
Yeah. I mean, you got
the Mountaineers.
Yeah. And West Virginia, none of these teams are necessarily slouches, just...
Well, West Virginia was 4-8.
But the matchups...
And their coach's name is Dana. I was talking today, and I asked my friend to research to see how many times Coach Saban has lost to a man named Dana. And when you find out how many times, you get back to me. He still has yet to get back to me, because I'm guessing he's still digging in the archives to see how many times Nick Saban's lost to a man named Dana. You have to go back pretty far.
Probably so.
I know he didn't name himself, so, but he also doesn't have to look like a creep either. And that dude is a straight up creep.
I'll take your word for that. I typically don't follow the Mountaineers, so. But
you remember him from Oklahoma State.
But that's the kickoff game in the Dome. You know, for local fans, that'd be maybe kind of nice to go to a different venue to see it. Should be kind of cool. But that's a cakewalk. Florida Atlantic's the next week. That's a cakewalk. Southern Miss.
Oh, but. We have an in with that head coach. We're going to try to have him on right before the season starts.
Florida Atlantic?
Yes. Jay, you heard it here first. Whoever's hearing it here first, you heard it here first. We have an in with that head coach.
All right, sounds good. I look forward to talking to him.
A friend of mine was on his boat about 2 weeks ago.
Be good to have him.
He was the DC at Wisconsin.
Okay.
When Beamer was there. And Florida Atlantic pulled him over there when Beamer left.
They were smart.
Maybe, maybe not.
He was smart to take the opportunity.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, we'll talk more to him about that as we get there.
Week one, they play Nebraska. I believe it's Nebraska and Alabama are their first two games.
Wow.
This is quite a gauntlet.
And then, then Southern Miss in third week.
1-11.
And then they get the Gators. The Gators aren't ready to compete with this yet.
They have the Gators at home.
They're not ready to compete with this yet. They get the off week to come back against Ole Miss. Now, typically, I'd say Ole Miss would really bring a good fight.
Ole Miss is back. 6-6.
As far as back playing in the league, or I mean,
they're back.
They're back. Like since the Eli Manning days, where are we going with this? Since the Archie Manning
days? All checks they gave to their players have been returned, is what I mean.
Okay. But they do have the open date before Ole Miss, so I don't give Ole Miss much of a chance right there.
They do have beautiful Bo Wallace, the strongest arm in the league.
You never know, but.
Was he most accurate? He was most accurate.
I think he's most accurate.
Yes. Then you got Arkansas. At Arkansas next.
Oh, yeah. It's, I don't know. Arkansas is not ready on that level either. The same reason Texas A&M is not going to do, they're going to do okay. They're not going to do very well. They're going to do okay. Tennessee's still trying to flip it around.
It is in Knoxville, though.
Yeah, but that's right before Halloween. So unless Tennessee comes dressed as, you know, FSU Seminoles, I don't see them winning that game.
I don't know if the Seminoles could do it either.
I don't either.
Talk about a paper tiger.
But
I'm just saying, look who they beat. For the championship. A team that should have got beat to, I won't call Missouri a lucky win.
Okay.
But the 2 weeks leading up to Missouri, they really shouldn't have won. They had no business being in that championship.
Yeah, that's true.
But nonetheless, they did it. They saw the opportunity, they seized it, won it.
They did. And then the open week, and then they get LSU in the first of November.
That is, I have it circled right here. The LSU game will decide.
Yeah.
That is in my notes. That will decide many things. Many millions of dollars will change hands because of what happens in that game.
It will decide, A,
playoffs.
If they win the West.
West? Okay, we'll go smaller bit.
Yeah. A, if they win the West.
West.
B, if, you know, in winning the West, they make the SEC championship
game. Okay, so that's about $10 million.
Right. And in winning the SEC championship game, they are the only team in the SEC to me that has a shot at this 4-team playoff.
Oh, certainly.
And it's nothing personal to South Carolina, but of all the SEC, Alabama's the only one this year that could qualify.
Right.
Because if not, nobody can go.
I'm going to have to agree with you because of the other contenders that I think will stumble.
Right.
If Alabama gets there with one loss, they're going to go.
But
I think if another team gets there with one loss, they're probably not going to go because that one loss is going to be an ugly loss.
Right.
Like South Carolina could lose to Tennessee and run the table, but that one loss to Tennessee is going to keep them out of the game.
And they do finish up with Mississippi State, which, I mean, all these guys can bring the fight to them, but or they finish up with Mississippi State, Western Carolina, and then Auburn for the Iron Bowl. It's nothing personal to Auburn, but I feel like lightning only hits once in the same place for a reason. I don't see him taking out Alabama this year.
I don't believe in Auburn's offense.
No, I don't.
I mean, I just saw Malzahn, sorry, talking yesterday. We're going to run dives, we're going to run counters, but we're not going to trick you, which is garbage because they do try to trick you with every single move they make. But he was saying, what we're going to run. We're not going to do anything different, which is really
it's
something terrible. Okay, so we were talking about South Carolina earlier.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4 double-digit win teams South Carolina plays this year. Alabama plays 2 double-digit win teams.
Yeah, and it's because, and I'm not going to say other teams didn't try to do this, because a lot of times, nobody knew how long the BCS was going to be here. That this is a completely different format on how to do your schedule.
Right.
Alabama somewhat, either accidentally or not, planned ahead to know this is the schedule that gets you in a 14 playoff.
Well, really, it's the whole Florida philosophy. Why play anyone outside of your state? Like, actually travel outside of the state of Florida because it didn't do any good.
Right.
Just win the conference, and you're in the discussion.
Right.
And, it's smart. What good?
With as many teams and quality opponents, honestly, that are in the state of Alabama, even Troy can give you a fight.
Remember a couple years ago when Georgia lost to Boise State.
Yeah.
Why'd they even play Boise State?
Exactly.
What good would it have done to beat them?
It made Boise State a lot of money, but that's it.
Right. They still went to the conference championship.
Right.
So it did them zero good to even play them. Maybe it could have cost them something if they didn't lose to South Carolina too and have two losses. So,
but I find it odd enough that if you ever look up Alabama's schedule, that it actually shows the SEC championship game as the last game because it's like a foregone conclusion. They're going to be there.
That's just, I hate to use the word tradition, but that's just the order of operations. That's the way things fall.
Same thing we said with South Carolina is, they're the champ until somebody proves otherwise.
Yeah.
And so far, nobody in the West has been able to do it.
Well, it's funny you say that because they weren't the champ.
It's true.
They've only won two conference championships since Saban's been there.
When I say champ, I mean they're the top team.
They've only won two conference championships since Saban's been there.
But they still
won. And three national titles.
Yeah.
So,
that's because 1 year, LSU beat them to make it into the game.
I'm saying Alabama's learned to play the game, so to speak.
Yeah.
I'm throwing air quotes up, anyone not watching. They've learned to play the game. Without playing the game.
Right. They've learned to play this game and play it just as well.
To their advantage. And you can have a loss and still do it.
But like we're saying, we're both kind of in 11-1. They could easily be 12-0.
Worse, 10-2.
Right. Who'd the other loss be?
Who do I have the other loss to?
Did you have Florida?
I didn't have Florida because they have Florida at home. It was either going to be something screwy like
Tennessee,
Ole Miss.
Maybe?
Ole Miss.
I can't remember the team you said, but
it was a road game.
But regardless, if they end up with one loss, and they're in the SEC game against South Carolina, which is the way I see it right now, I think they're going to beat South Carolina. They're going to be one of these four teams in the playoff. And on a future episode, I'll tell you who the other three I think are going to be. But SEC fans, cheer for your team, even if they're not Alabama. Cheer for your team the whole way through. But when it comes playoff time, if you want to cheer for your conference, Alabama's going to be it.
Yeah. I think it might have been the Ole Miss, just on a whim. It was a road game.
They are back.
They're back. You freeze, baby.
But our backs are up against the wall as far as this show. And appreciate you guys hanging out and listening. Our last and finale before the season starts will be UGA early next week, which should be a lot of fun because I know I won't pull any punches and Joe promises he won't either.
It's not flowers and sausages over here.
We may need Bills Lane in here to call the action.
Yes, for sure.
But for Mr. Joe Pym, I am your host, Jeremy York. Thanks to Impact Media and Smell a Mushroom. This has been the SEC Alabama Preview. See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening.